Holy crap, the madman actually did it. President Trump, on his first day in office, kept his promise to pardon Ross Ulbricht, who has been serving a life sentence in federal prison for creating the Silk Road. Now, in case you didn't know, the Silk Road was basically the OG hidden marketplace on Tor. There were technically other ones that came before it, but the Silk Road had a lot of its success and gained a lot of notoriety for being the first hidden marketplace to use Bitcoin as the only form of payment. Because Bitcoin is a decentralized cryptocurrency, and back in 2011 when the Silk Road was founded, there was virtually no KYC regulations or really any regulations at all around Bitcoin because that project itself had just started a few years ago. Hardly anyone cared about it because a single Bitcoin is worth less than a dollar, but because of its open source and decentralized nature, Ross Ulbricht saw it as the perfect tool to combine with Tor's Onion Service feature, which lets you host a website on the dark web anonymously. Donald Trump announced on Truth Social that he had just called the mother of Ross William Ulbricht to let her know that in honor of her and the libertarian movement, which supported me so strongly, it was my pleasure to have just signed a full and unconditional pardon of her son, Ross. The scum that worked to convict him were some of the same lunatics who were involved in the modern-day weaponization of government against me. He was given two life sentences plus 40 years. Ridiculous. And I absolutely agree. Because in case you didn't know about the legend of the Silk Road, it started because Ross Ulbricht had what I guess you could call a libertarian vision of unstoppable, unregulatable online marketplaces. And his vision has largely succeeded because even though he got the book thrown at him with a lifetime prison sentence, that hasn't stopped others from creating these online black markets. There's easily been 100 more that have popped up over the years following the same fundamentals as the Silk Road, and of course, making improvements along the way, like switching to Monero as the standard cryptocurrency and requiring the use of PGP whenever possible. And many of these markets have gone through successful life cycles where they opened up, they gained popularity over time, they gained a number of sellers and buyers that wanted to do business through their website and use their escrow service. And then after a few years, the administrators shut down the website, retiring as crypto millionaires on a yacht somewhere. And the success rates of these websites are getting higher and higher. Granted, there's still a lot of them that get seized, especially when the websites get really popular and the admins refuse to retire and just get too cocky and keep going and going. And when most admins actually do choose to quit on their own terms, they end up exit scamming, which is basically where they'll freeze all the crypto that's in their escrow service that the buyers and sellers were using. And sometimes they'll even try to milk people a little bit by telling them, hey, everything's fine, man. There's just a small problem with the withdrawal system, but everything else is working and I'm totally gonna fix it. Just keep on depositing your crypto. And then, of course, the admins disappear with everything and they shut the website down, which is pretty scummy. And it hurts people's trust in these kinds of marketplaces, this little social experiment that Ross Ulbricht started. But at the end of the day, that's the risk that you're going to take with the dark web. And fortunately, there's forums now like Dread that stay pretty up to date with hidden marketplaces and dark web news. So when those particular ones do start doing an exit scam or they get hacked or they get raided, you're going to find out there pretty quickly. So yeah, the US government basically realized after they caught Ross in a sting operation at a library and took the laptop that he was running the Silk Road from, that he had discovered something revolutionary. He demonstrated that Bitcoin was the perfect tool as a medium of exchange in a truly unregulated online marketplace. And without that demonstration, which Ross unfortunately spent 10 years of his life in prison for, Bitcoin and the rest of the crypto industry would not be what it is today. And make no mistake, because I see this come up all the time when people talk about Ross Ulbricht, especially when people say that he did nothing wrong. He did not get in trouble for trying to hire a hitman. He never even talked to a real hitman. There were no charges that were made against him, if you look at his case. And if you look into what really happened with Ross trying to hire a hitman, he got led on this crazy ruse by a scammer or a group of scammers who played a number of different roles. There's Friendly Chemist, who claimed to be this middleman supplier that got ripped off by someone named Lucy Drop, who was actually selling LSD on the Silk Road. So Friendly Chemist said that he had fronted Lucy Drop some product that he didn't pay for, and he wanted Ross Ulbricht to make it right because now Friendly Chemist owed money to his suppliers. And he also claimed to know the identities of a bunch of vendors on the Silk Road, and he threatened to release them if Ross, who went by the name Dread Pirate Roberts, didn't do something about the Lucy Drop situation and get him his money. Lucy Drop came back onto the Silk Road a little bit later under a new name called Real Lucy Drop, and he contacted Ross, claiming to have been in prison and that his original Lucy Drop account that was scamming people, basically taking orders and then not really shipping them the product that they ordered, was stolen by his partner, and he didn't have any way to pay back Friendly Chemist. You know, his partner stole the account, stole all the money, and stole all the product. And during this conversation, Ross requested that Lucy Drop give him Friendly Chemist's real-life identity so that Ross could threaten him and have leverage against that blackmail threat that Friendly Chemist initially made against Ross. Now, as the conversation went on, Lucy Drop told Ross that Friendly Chemist was extremely frightened by the guys that he owed money to because they were the most powerful biker gang in Canada, and he was saying that if he didn't get the money to pay off his suppliers, that he would rather go to the police and get into the witness protection program and turn rat than to face the wrath of this Hell's Angels-esque biker gang that he owed money to. A few days after this conversation, a new character called Red and White appears, claiming to be a high-level member of this biker gang, and he contacted Ross on the Silk Road, claiming that he was the person that Friendly Chemist owed money to. Now, at first, this Red and White person played the angle to make it sound like they just wanted Ross to pay them the money directly. But after chatting for a bit, the Red and White person decided that they might just start selling on the Silk Road directly because they could do more than $1 million per week in sales, which would blow out the majority of the competition. You gotta remember that selling drugs online was a very new thing at the time. There were only a handful of people doing it, and they certainly were not the big boss kingpins that had access to large quantities of supply for very cheap. And they also claimed to have found Friendly Chemist partner named Zen, who had a lot of their product that they owed on him. So after Red and White took that product back and took care of Zen, he said that he felt even. Meanwhile, Friendly Chemist was still messaging Rob, saying that he needed $500,000 to move his wife and kids away because this biker gang just unalived his friend Zen. He believed that he was next, and if Ross didn't pay within 72 hours, then he was going to leak all this information that he had about vendors and buyers that were on the Silk Road and turn rat. So Ross asked Friendly Chemist for an extension to 96 hours. And in the meantime, he decided to contact this Red and White guy that he had just met because surely a biker gang kingpin knows some hitmen. So Red and White played the role perfectly. At first, he was pretending to be a little hesitant at first and even kind of saying it's stupid because he had already killed Zen, and so now he didn't really care about going after Friendly Chemist. But then he admitted that, yeah, you know, I do have hitmen working for me because, of course, I'm the Hell Angels of Canada. And he could take care of the problem for about $150,000. So Ross ended up paying the money. It was over 1,600 Bitcoin at the time. Red and White confirms the very next day that the problem has been taken care of, and he sends Ross a picture as proof. But because Ross doesn't actually know what Friendly Chemist looks like, Red and White could have just sent a picture of any random dead guy that you can find on the internet, okay? It's not hard to come by that. And I might actually make a video at some point about this whole hitman scam, because like I said, it's something that a lot of people have a misunderstanding about with the Dread Pirate Roberts case. He didn't get life in prison for killing anyone, and certainly not for even attempting to take a hit out on someone. And because Ross ended up paying 1,670 bitcoins for that hit way back when, it probably ended up being one of the most lucrative scams in history, since that payment is worth almost $200 million today. And that honestly should have been punishment enough for Ross Ulbricht. I'm glad that he's free, and I'm glad he's going to get to see the wonderful dark web world that he pioneered. If you enjoyed this video, please like and share it to Hack the Algorithm, and check out my website, base.win, where you can get my awesome merch, like the tie-dye tour tee, or the Little Damon hoodie, and you can get accessories for your phone or laptop, 10% store-wide discount when you pay in Monero XMR at checkout. Have a great rest of your day.